Welcome to installment 73 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment, prohibition number 355, as once again we will discuss the prohibition against premarital relations. We will also discuss another one of the Rambam's introductory principles, principle number 13, about how to determine the specific count of the 613 commandments. As we have mentioned in the past few days, the prohibition 355 is a prohibition against having relations before marriage. Anytime there is not a ksuba, the marriage document, or kiddushin, the marriage ceremony, relations are strictly prohibited by virtue of this biblical prohibition. The biblical source for this prohibition is the statement, Lo siya kadesha mi b'nei Yisrael. There shall not be any prostitutes among the Jewish daughters. Both the man and the woman are punished by malchus, or lashing, as explained, as this punishment and as well as the other details of this law are explained in the tractate Kedushin. In his legal code, the Rambam points out that this was only prohibited before the Torah was given on Mount Sinai. And as he explains in Mor Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed, this explains the story of Yehuda and Tamar about why he was allowed to have relations with her although he did not marry her. And in addition, the Rambam there explains that when he offered her payment, this served the same function as a ksuba does in the case of marriage, that one is required to offer the woman payment in such a circumstance, as was the situation before the Torah was given. However, after the Torah was given, this is strictly prohibited. There is another verse that Rambam brings which also expresses the same or similar idea. The verse speaks to the father of a girl and says, Do not defile your daughter to cause her to engage in immorality. And the Sifra explains that this is a warning not only to the daughter herself, but also to the father, that the father has a prohibition not to give his daughter over to such relations. However, this is not merely a repetition of the same idea, as we do have certain prohibitions where the same idea is expressed twice in order to impress upon us the severity of the act. Here the Rambam tells us that this verse prohibiting the father from handing over his daughter to such relations teaches us something else that we would not necessarily know without this verse. The Rambam says a person might look at similar cases, as we have the case of Mefate, when an unmarried girl is seduced by a man, or Aines, he forces her to have relations with him. And in such a case, the man is required to pay payment to the girl's father. At first glance, it might seem that this idea of premarital relations is only a financial sort of transaction and is not prohibited in any way. And one might think that based on this, the father might be allowed to take money and be allowed to offer his daughter's services to a man. The Rambam tells us that this is the meaning of this verse, that you may not defile your daughter, that the only time the Torah makes it a monetary situation is in those cases where it has happened by chance. In those cases where it does happen, the Torah puts it in such terms. However, in order to actually allow it, to say lechatchila, a person should be allowed to engage in such activity, this the Torah specifically prohibits. And that is the meaning of the extra verse relating not only to the woman herself or girl, but also to the father, to distinguish this case from the cases of Mefate and Aines. What is the reason the Torah makes this distinction? The Rambam says that this is also explicitly indicated in the verse. The verse says, "V'leisizne ha'aretz u'mala ha'aretz zima," in order that the land should not become defiled and the whole world become full of immorality. That in the other cases, since they are things which do not occur too often, we are not worried to such an extent, or at least the Torah does not worry to such an extent, that it will become widespread. But if we allow people to engage in such activity willingly for money, then it will spread all over the world and be extremely widespread. And therefore the Torah forbid any such activity. As we discussed in our beginning introductory section of Sefer HaMitzvahs, as well as in several of the past few mitzvahs, the Rambam wrote his book Sefer HaMitzvahs in order to correctly enumerate all of the 613 mitzvahs, and he disagrees with many of the earlier commentaries on exactly which mitzvahs are included in the total of 613. The Rambam, in his introductory section, gives 14 principles which he used as guidelines in how to determine whether a certain statement of the Torah counts as one of the 613 commandments or not. We are now up to the 13th of these principles, which is that in a case of a mitzvah, we do not examine how many days or how many occasions this mitzvah will be performed. Rather, we count the mitzvah as a whole, regardless of how many times it is performed. For example, we have a mitzvah which might last for several days, such as sitting in the sukkah or making the blessing on the lulav. These mitzvahs we would count as one, although one sits in the sukkah for 7 days, or today, outside of Israel, we sit for 8 days. One would not count 7 different mitzvahs, different ones, to sit in the sukkah every day of the holiday of Sukkot. And so to the lulav. There is one mitzvah, one commandment to make the blessing and shake the lulav. And so too, when we have different sacrifices which are brought at certain times, we look at the type of sacrifice rather than the number of times that it is brought. For example, the Rambam speaks about the Musaf, the additional offering which is brought on the first day of a Jewish month, the Musaf Rosh Chodesh. This commandment to bring an extra offering on the first day of the month is one of the 613 mitzvahs. However, a person might think that it counts as 12 different mitzvahs, since you must bring one of these offerings at the beginning of each day of the Hebrew month. At the beginning of each Hebrew month, you might think that there are 12 separate commandments. However, the Rambam says it would be impossible to say such a thing, because one must be consistent. If one is going to count the number of times a particular sacrifice is brought, what about the Korban Tamid? We have the constant sacrifice which is brought every single day in the temple. Should then we count the number of days of the year, each one is a separate mitzvah. And the Korban Tamid, although the Rambam doesn't mention it, is brought twice a day. We would already have more than 613 commandments with this one constant sacrifice itself. So too, the burning of incense in the temple was also done every day. And so too, the lighting of the menorah was done every day. Should we therefore count each day as a separate mitzvah? Obviously not. Other similar cases would be the Musaf offering for Shabbos, which although not brought every day, is brought once a week. And so too, the special additional offerings brought on the various holidays. We also don't look at the number of days on which the sacrifices are brought, but rather look at the type of sacrifice and count that as one mitzvah. Just as the verse says that one must rejoice through the taking of the lulav for 7 days, we count that as one mitzvah, so too, describing the musaf offering for the holidays, where the verse says, Shivas yomim takrivu, one shall bring it as a sacrifice for 7 days, so too this does not count as 7 mitzvahs, but rather as 1 mitzvah. And so too the holiday offerings, for example, the Korban Chagiga, which is brought on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, counts as 1 commandment rather than 3. And so too the Riya, the offering brought upon for appearance in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Simcha offering, the offering of rejoicing, all of them count as 1 sacrifice, although they are brought on 3 occasions. There are, however, some commentaries who have made a tremendously great mistake, says the Rambam, and a strange mistake also. What is their mistake? They have gone to the opposite extreme by counting all of the Musaf offerings as 1 mitzvah, without a separate one for Rosh Chodesh and a separate for Shabbos and for Pesach and Shavuos, rather 1 commandment of Musaf. The Rambam again says, if they would want to be consistent, they would have to count 1 commandment of Yom Tov, 1 commandment to observe the holidays, with various different holidays. But of course, they don't do that. They count Pesach as 1 mitzvah, Shavuot as another mitzvah, and so on. But when it comes to the Musaf offerings, they count them all together. But Hashem knows, the Rambam says, and Hashem is a witness, that they have mistaken in this matter, and the reason is that they have not been consistent in taking a principle and sticking to it. And therefore, the Rambam says, the correct way of looking at things is that every single Musaf offering is not counted according to the number of times it is brought, and in the other extreme, it does not count as 1 together with all the other Musaf offerings. This is the proper way of counting the mitzvahs, and this must be applied evenly in all cases where it is relevant when a mitzvah is done on more than 1 occasion. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a shiur, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.